the living, a song of thanksgiving. To God the Creator our voices we raise. God's banner is high o'er us, Christ's light goes before us. A pillar of light shining forth in the night. To all things now living, unite in thanksgiving. To God in the highest. Hosanna in praise.
Welcome to the first Sunday of Advent at Hollywood United Methodist Church. We are glad that you have joined us here in person and online this morning. The Olt family will light our first Advent candle.
I was glad when they said to me, "Let's go to the house of the Lord."
We are glad, whether we drove in or climbed up, whether we logged on or tuned in. We are glad to be here in this community with this family. It is a place of joyful hope, of radical welcome. It is a place where together we can wait in wondrous anticipation of the kingdom to come.
Many people shall come and say, "Come, let us go up the mountain of the Lord to the house of the God of Jacob, that God may teach us God's ways and that we may walk in God's paths."
We light this candle as a sign of our hope, our joyous hope that we can be restored, our faith restored, our strength restored, our confidence restored, our joy restored, as we watch and wait with all God's people for the promise to be fulfilled.
Emmanuel, our King and Lawgiver, the expected of the nations and their Savior.
Come and save us, O Lord, our God.
From the mouth of the Most High, reaching from end to end, and ordering all things mightily and sweetly.
Come and teach us the way of prudence.
Come, O King of David, God, and open wide our heavens.
key of David and scepter of the house of Israel, who opens and no one shuts, who shuts and no one opens. Come and bring forth from prison the captive who sits in darkness and in the shadow of death. Dayspring, brightness of the light eternal, and sun of justice, come and enlighten those who sit in darkness and in the shadow of death. Gentiles and their desired one, cornerstone that makes both one. Come and deliver us whom you formed out of the dust of the earth.
I invite all young people to come forward. Have a little children's moments here. Oh, good morning, good morning, good morning. All right, come on in. Roisin, good to see you this morning. So my name is Miss April. I'm the coordinator of children's ministries, and you saw us up there today lighting what we call it's the first Sunday of Advent. Advent means to come. Now, let me ask you a question. Evelyn, you're usually good at answering some questions. Come on up. What are some things you have to wait for?
Waiting patient.
Yeah, waiting patiently. You are exactly right. What are some things you have to wait for? What do you have to wait for?
The line at Disneyland or Legoland or at Universal Studios.
Yeah, lots of lines at any amusement park, right? What else do you have to wait for?
Things that you're excited for just take longer to wait for.
Yeah, you're right. What else?
Cafeteria line.
Cafeteria line, so true. You got another one?
Your birthday and Christmas.
Your birthday and Christmas. Did I tell you to say Christmas? I didn't, did I? That was so good. Give me five. I didn't even have to lead it, nothing. Yeah, Christmas. So, and we have to do just like what Evelyn said and wait patiently. How good are we about being patient for Christmas? Yeah, I'm seeing some thumbs down up here. Yeah. I did not even prompt this. This is going exactly as I planned. Yeah, we are not so good at waiting. Annalie and I went to a tree lighting and we had to wait a really long time to see Santa Claus, didn't we? Yeah, what are you going to say?
We went went to Universal Studio and we were on the Jurassic Park ride, and it took like an hour and 50 minutes to get there, to get to the ride.
An hour and 50 minutes? Whoa, what did you do while you waited? Oh, there were TV cameras, what else? Yeah. Fun things to do.
Facts and interviewing, but then it started repeating.
Yeah, and then it started repeating. So what are some other things you do? What do we do while we're waiting, Annalie?
We wait till we're on the slide and on the plane and everywhere.
Yeah, on the slide when we get on a plane, you're right. And you and I, we make up games, don't we? And we sing and dance. What are some things that you do before you wait, Lila Bell, to wait? So what are some things you do while you're waiting? Oh, yeah, bringing a toy, right? So I'm gonna give us some ideas of some things that we can do to wait for Christmas. The youth are doing a Christmas shop, and one of the things that Annalie and I do in waiting for Christmas is we pick out toys for other children and family. So that's something that we can do. What did we do this week on Wednesday, Maddie? What's something else we can do?
We can volunteer at places to help other people.
Yeah. So we didn't know, and we met Maddie and her whole family volunteering on Wednesday. What's something else we can
do? To wait for Christmas, you can make Christmas presents for Christmas.
Yeah, you can make things. I love that idea, right? We can enjoy the beautiful decorations and the lights. Who put up their decorations already? Yeah? We're getting ready to.
We didn't put our decorations on Halloween.
Oh, okay. So yes, we can put up decorations. We can listen to beautiful music, right? So there's so many things that we can do when we wait for what's to come, which is celebrating the birth of Jesus. And so that's my challenge to you, to all of you, whether you're joining in virtually, here in person, find some of that joy in the waiting, some of those fun things that we can do while we wait for Christmas. All right, so let us, today, just as a reminder, we do not have children's church, but the nursery will be open for those under five with Miss Oshadi and Miss Zuki. All right, so let's all bow our heads in prayer. Dearest Lord, thank you so much for the joy that you give us and the promise of Jesus Christ and celebrating the birthday of Jesus on Christmas and all of the patience that we have, all the joys and the blessings that we have to look forward to as we wait, as we find things to do to celebrate you and this beautiful and wonderful time. And all God's children said, Amen. Let us stand and pass the peace to those around you in whichever way you are comfortable.
The peace of Christ be with you all. Let us now enter into this time of prayer being led by our choir.
Royal David City stood alone.
Let us pray. Unexpected God, your advent alarms us. Wake us from drowsy worship, from the sleep that neglects love, and the distraction of misdirected frenzy. Awaken us now to your coming. Lead us into this time of waiting and anticipation. We continue to pray for all those who were affected by the Colorado Springs shooting. We add additional prayers for those who were victims of the Chesapeake shooting. May we as a nation make the intentional choice to follow your Son, the Prince of Peace, and reject easy access to and reliance upon weapons of all kinds. We pray for members of this congregation who are seeking healing of mind, body, or spirit. We lift up Ruth, Richard, Carol, and others whom we carry in our hearts. We also offer joyous prayers for Robert and Christopher as they begin their married life this weekend. We take these next few moments to pray silently, practicing the presence of God in our midst. In the midst of the hurriedness of the Advent season, O Lord, may we find these moments of silence at points during the day, that we might concentrate on the coming of your Son, Jesus our Christ, who as an adult taught us to pray, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we might forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen. And good morning. It's good to be with you on this first Sunday of Advent. We have a few announcements. Next week is a huge Sunday for us. Bishop Cedric Bridgeforth, our former district superintendent and friend, will be with us, will be preaching next week. He and Bishop Swenson will consecrate communion, and we'll be giving him a good old-fashioned Hollywood send-off as he goes to the Pacific Northwest to be bishop there effective January 1st. So please come. We want to have as full a house as we can. I know many of you join us online, and we're grateful to you for that. But if you can come in person, that'd just be awesome. So our annual church meeting, our church conference, is this coming Thursday at 7 o'clock online. I don't have the Zoom link yet. I'm waiting for the superintendent to send it to me. So just email me and let me know if you'd like to be part of that, and I will send you that link when I receive it. 2 weeks from today, we will be doing a blessing bag build under the direction of Pastor Brighty. So you can stay after for a little while in the gym, and we will put together blessing bags to give out to our homeless neighbors. And you heard April talk about the Christmas shop that the youth are doing. There are decorated boxes in the narthex that you can bring your unwrapped toys in so that we can have them available for families that are being selected by a social worker who's in our congregation who will come, and then they can shop for free and have a very special Christmas for their family on December 17th. And finally, this is the last Sunday to take home bears. There are bears in the narthex, and there are also some outfits for them. They have a price on them. They were donated to us by Nancy Grubb. You do not need to pay for them. So just feel free to take one if you want to pay for it. We won't ever turn away your money. I'm saying that. And there's a little box on the altar table if you would like to donate, but you don't have to. We just would like to have as many bears decorated as we can to take to the pediatric AIDS clinic at County Hospital. All that we do here is made possible by you, by your prayers and your presence, your service, your witness, and your financial gifts. So as the ushers come forward, I encourage you to give as generously as you are able so that we might continue to grow our ministries here in the heart of Hollywood, in Toluca Lake, and online.
A reading from the Gospel of Mark, chapter 13. But in those days, after that suffering, the sun will be darkened, and the moon will not give its light, and the stars will be falling from heaven, and the powers in the heavens will be shaken. Then they will see the Son of Man coming in clouds with great power and glory. Then he will send out the angels and gather the elect from the four winds, from the ends of the earth to the ends of heaven. From the fig tree, learn this lesson. As soon as its branches become tender and puts forth its leaves, you know that summer is near. So also, when you see these things taking place, you know that he is near, at the very gates. Truly, I tell you, this generation will not pass away until all these things have taken place. Heaven and earth will pass away, but my words will not pass away. But about that day or hour, no one knows, neither the angels in heaven nor the Son, but only the Father. Beware. Keep alert, for you do not know when the time will come. It is like a man going on a journey. When he leaves home and puts his slaves in charge, each with his work, and commands the doorkeeper to be on the watch. Therefore, keep awake, for you do not know when the master of the house will come. In the evening, or at midnight, or at cockcrow, or at dawn, or else he may find you asleep when he comes suddenly. And what I say to you, I say to all, keep awake. Holy wisdom, holy word, thanks be to God.
In 2009, Jason Brown was on top of the world and at the head of his game. He's a professional football player, and it is Thanksgiving weekend, and I don't do all the sportsing, but I know it's important this weekend, so I thought I'd throw in a story. Jason was widely recognized as one of the best centers in the league. He was drafted after a great college career at North Carolina, where he never missed a game, to play for the Baltimore Ravens. Then, in 2009, he went free agent, and after days of talks, he signed a 5-year $37 million contract with the St. Louis Rams. Not bad. Not bad for a kid who grew up in the corner of North Carolina known for its poverty. But not surprising either. Before he got to North Carolina, he was an outstanding athlete and student, not only in football, but also in track and field. He was a member of the National Honor Society. He had all the earmarks of success, talent, drive, dedication, a willingness to work as hard as necessary. And by 2009, at the age of 26, he had achieved success beyond even his wildest imagination. But just a bit more than halfway through his contract, less than 4 years later, Jason walked away from all of it. Not just from the St. Louis Rams, but from professional football. From fame and tremendous future fortune, from potential offers from other teams, there was still a good third of his contract money on the table, and that's where he left it. Why? Why would anyone do that? Jason left football to become a farmer, and not just any kind of farmer, a farmer whose intention it was to feed the poor. He and his wife took his earnings and brought 1,000 acres of land in the same impoverished corner of North Carolina that he was from. They named their farm First Fruits Farm, and they planned to give the first fruits of every harvest to local food pantries. They have planted and harvested acres and acres of sweet potatoes and cucumbers, and all of it has gone to feed the needy. So what makes a young man in his prime, with years of earning potential, choose a life of dirt, sweat, and labor over fame and literally millions and millions of dollars. In an interview, Jason Brown cited his faith in God, saying, "When I think about a life of greatness, I think about a life of service." Football and its trappings had lost its value to him. Jason Brown decided to give up that which society places value on and instead follow his faith and his heart into service of God. And I encourage you to Google him. There's lots of updates on this story. It's a wonderful story. He doesn't need stadiums full of people anymore to validate his success. He said in the same interview how great he felt watching those first potatoes come out of the ground. He had never felt more successful, and in his words, not in man's standards, but in God's eyes. Now, farming is a treacherous game. I'm from Iowa. We don't have small family farmers anymore. Jason Brown, he didn't come from a family of farmers. In true millennial form, he learned how to farm watching YouTube. Now, he felt God calling him to answer the needs of a broken world, and he took a great leap of faith. He didn't have the security of a multi-year contract. He just had a calling. Faith, trust in God, and hope. And he had a belief that despite the obstacles that were before him, that in the end, with God's help, things were going to turn out all right. To choose hope over the status quo is an act that suggests to those who witness it that we believe that God has a plan for the long run, and that with God's help, maybe some of the answer to the brokenness of this world lies in each of us. Imagine what the world might be like if we allowed ourselves the luxury of hope. Not a feeble hope, but a hope that suggests that despite that all is wrong in our times, and there's plenty, all the ways that harm and hurt and exist in the world, we know that deliverance is near. The first Sunday of Advent is Hope Sunday. It's also the first Sunday of the calendar year. Happy New Year for the church. We start afresh. Today's scripture lesson from the Gospel of Mark is a true Advent passage. It doesn't begin with angels or miracles or virgin births. Instead, we hear directly from Jesus, not at the beginning of his life, but at its turbulent and violent end. The passage from Mark is a lesson taught by Jesus to his disciples in a moment of uncertainty. It becomes part of a gospel related to the first Christians almost six decades later, a people facing real difficulties for living what they believe. They are the first forgers of the Christian faith. What they believed, what they were trying to do, stood in stark difference to the oppression that they lived under. This chapter from the gospel lesson from Mark tells those facing persecution and suffering to stay close to their faith, to allow God to judge those who hurt them instead of letting vengeance change them and seeking it themselves, and to find their ways through the difficulties that they are experiencing by practicing and living the very faith that was at the center of their persecution. Today, as Christians, we receive this gospel as well, like those early Christians, people of faith living in a flawed world, which both gives us tremendous joy and also brings us heartbreak. There is violence and suffering in our world today, as there was then. But still, we are people of faith who harbor a hope of what is yet to be, of what the world could become. Jesus calls on his disciples to have hope even in the most cruel times. Mark 13 prophesies in great detail the coming fracture of the world order and the difficulties that will face Christian and Jews alike. But there is a promise here, hidden in the depths of this apocalyptic imagery. And I tried to come up with some great images like Pastor Kathy always had, but they were all like Jesus with a sword riding through clouds, and that just doesn't vibe with me. But it is apocalyptic imagery, right? It's talking about this amazing moment when the Son of Man will appear in the darkest hour. He tells us that we will not have to finish this journey alone. At the time, people will see the Son of Man coming in clouds of great power and glory, and he will send his angels to gather his elect from the four winds, from the ends of the earth to the ends of the heavens. The lesson has so many layers. While Jesus wants the people to have hope and asks them to be patient, they're not merely supposed to just wait. They're not allowed to hide their faith. He tells them that the most faithful will encounter the Son of Man. The persecuted faith that Jesus speaks of in chapter 13 is not experienced by those who keep their faith hidden or to themselves. Jesus expected his disciples to take risks, to live what they believed, to share what they knew, that love rules, so that the salvation that they sought personally could also be the salvation of the world. And today's reading ends with a powerful invitation and admonishment. Keep awake. Now I know it's hot here in the sanctuary today, but I invite you to do the same. Keep awake. We're not sleeping at the wheel of our faith. For the Son of Man and a new day are coming. The faithful are invited to keep watch over ourselves, over our communities, and to lead with love, even when love is hard to come by, lest we allow ourselves to be turned and distracted by the dark actions of others. So what does this mean for us in our time? We don't live in first century Rome. No one is putting us on trial for what we believe, but we do live in a difficult moment where hope is desperately needed. Los Angeles County continues to be at the epicenter of a national housing and homelessness crisis. Not only are tens of thousands of people living on the street every day, and we know this, we've seen it, but what we don't see are the many more living on the edge, currently housed, but very precariously, possibly falling into homelessness. If you are a renter in this city, you know it is nearly impossible to find an apartment or a house that a middle-class worker can afford to live in comfortably with their family. Many families are struggling, and for those who make minimum wage or less, the conditions in housing are nearly impossible. This is a real crisis. These are the numbers from the homeless count this year. It's a crisis that demands a Christian response. But how does one begin to think about nearly 70,000 people experiencing homelessness at night? That's bigger than Sioux City, Iowa, where I went to middle school. That would mean that every single person in that town was living unhoused right here in the heart of Los Angeles. How can you grapple with that? You know what? We are not expected to have all the answers, but we are invited to trust and hope that if we live out what God calls us to do in the world, there will be a light forthcoming. We are called to help build and heal things that are broken. So we've got to lean into a different kind of future. O come, Emmanuel, and ransom captive Israel that mourns in lonely exile here until the Son of God appears. These words that were sung so powerfully this morning are from a 12th century Latin chant, and they resonate with us. They speak to your heart. I always get a little bit verklempt when we sing this song because I feel it. I am waiting for he who will deliver us. Maybe it's because at some point in our lives we have known what it is to be captive to the struggles of this world, and we have longed to be free. But there are signs of hope all around us, and that's what I want to point out to you today. With hope comes freedom. On November 8th, Angelinos passed with overwhelming support Measure U LA. If you recall, this was a petition that we circulated in our own congregation, asking LA voters to put a measure on the ballot that would create a new annual revenue stream to address the housing crisis in Los Angeles. The United to House LA measure was able to collect the required signatures, over 70,000, and it went onto the ballot. And then Angelenos voted, and they overwhelmingly passed it. This powerful bill is different from ones that we have previously seen. Y'all remember Measure H? It was a one-time billion-dollar fundraising that's going to build 8,000 units. Still not finished. It takes a long time to build in LA, but one time. Measure ULA is anticipated to generate that much money every single year without end, $1 billion. It was endorsed by the LA Times, and this is what they say it's going to do. Most of the revenue from this measure would subsidize the construction of new affordable housing, fund the rehabilitation of existing buildings such as motels and hotels into affordable housing, and buy existing apartment buildings. No one gets kicked out of those apartment buildings, but if people choose to leave, the apartment becomes affordable housing and stays that way. The rest of the revenue, 30%, which is amazing, will go into a homelessness prevention fund that would provide ongoing rental or cash subsidies for at-risk seniors and people with disabilities, short-term emergency funding for people at risk of becoming homeless, and legal services to people threatened with eviction. This is projected to build over 26,000 new units of housing in 10 years. And then it's estimated to help over 40,000 households facing eviction. This is an incredible achievement. There is nothing of its kind in the country. LA is the first place to pass it. And it was because voters and you chose to believe, chose to have hope that taking a daring action that was led by faith could change the lives of millions of people over time. Voters stayed awake, and when the opportunity came, they acted. We have great hope that this will preserve the diversity of our city and give our young people a future here. Now, it's going to take time for those seeds to come to fruition. You know, Measure H was only passed a few years ago, but I hear lots of people talking about how terrible it is because the housing isn't built yet. It will come. That's what faith is about. It takes a long time. God has invited us to be a part of the long game, to understand that if we do our piece day by day, little by little, we will end up in the place that we want to be, in the beloved community. As we keep watch, we can put our hands and our feet and our heart into the struggle. Our church has long played a role in the heart of Hollywood, looking at the struggle of homelessness, both standing in direct ministry with folks and also working on the other side to create strategic change. During the pandemic, the role of our ministry changed. It had to. We were not able to provide in-person services. And during those 3 years, the crisis itself changed and the demands are different. As we begin to emerge from a pandemic that is still going on with the help of vaccines, we have begun again to do direct service and ministry in our own community. And it's been exciting and long overdue. It's been with great joy that we have lent our time to organizations like Food on Foot. We even have members who are supporting it now here in the heart of Hollywood. It's a great org that meets direct needs of folks on the ground, but also helps folks who are on the edge of becoming homeless stay out of that situation. Helps people find sustained housing, and helps people find sustained work. It's a wonderful program. We're also going to be rejoining our friends at organizations like Project Angel Food, and because of who we are and where we are, we understand that we have one of the largest groups of homeless LGBT youth and young adults in the city, if not in the country, here in our city. And our ministry in the next year will also be looking in that direction to see where we can be in solidarity. You can join in any of this. On the first Thursday of every month, at 7 p.m., we have a Zoom ministry. We've just started it. It's a working group to see what we're going to do next. You can join us this coming Thursday, second Thursday of the month. Yes, the second Thursday of the month at 7 p.m. We're also going to be doing our blessing bag build, as you've already heard. And on January 10th in the gym, we're going to be going to Project Angel Food right here in Hollywood to get in the kitchen with those folks and prepare meals for folks in need. The season of Advent is precious. This time of preparation for Christmas is filled with the things we love, cookies and decorating and time with friends. But it's also a time for the things that we need. Prayer, discernment, service, fellowship. It's a time set aside to allow us the luxury that we so rarely embrace, a time for miracles, a time for hope, a time for the possibility of things unexplainable and things yet to come. We pray and we wait and we watch for God's inbreaking into our world, for the return of the Son of Man, for the birth of the Christ child who will call us to be peacemakers. It is a period of waiting and preparation when we recognize that what we believe is indeed mystical in nature, and we assert that our very temporal world needs a spiritual balm in order to move towards healing. Now, maybe you brought a compassion bearer this week. That's good. We want you to bring those back. I still haven't brought mine back, which means I have to make two more. I'm gonna make two more, bring them back for next week. You gotta bring those, right? In Advent, we have this opportunity to serve. But you can also join our church, as Reverend Kathy mentioned, after church on December 10th, as we undertake the important work of doing our blessing bag build. Now, we have a plan this year. We want to build 1,000 bags so that we can do outreach to 1,000 people that are right here in the heart of Hollywood and let them know that they are loved. God is with them and they are never alone. Now, that's gonna take a little bit of work, but many hands make light work. And I promise that if you join us that Sunday after church, I am going to bake some Christmas cookies. And by bake, I mean I'm going to buy them before church at a very credible bakery, but you are going to enjoy them. I will take the packaging off and put them on a decorative platter because I know you want to feel extra special, and you are extra special, but I really hope that you will join us that day. Each day as we move forward in the season of light, we remember the darkness that precipitated it. Now, the last few weeks have not been easy. We grieve and mourn for our siblings in Colorado Springs and the experience of violence that they had. We cry out against the mass shootings that have plagued our nation. We speak out against the homophobia, racism, misogyny, and violence that has entered into our national politics, and we pray for change. When Jesus was born, the world was longing for a Messiah. It too was praying for change. And God delivered. Jesus' good news doesn't stop at the manger. It is in the heart of all the people who follow him. It is in your hearts. Each time you raise his name, each time you put your hands to work in the world in his service, you are expressing a hope, a belief that one day the world will be better. Maybe today the world will be better. This is a hope that cannot be quenched, a light that cannot be put out, and it lives in each of us and is profound. So friends, I invite you, I beg you to keep awake, stay vigilant. Do not let the darkness overcome the light that you know to be true. Love leads, love rules, and hope, it's ours. You know why? Because God is good all the time, and all the time, God is good. Amen.
Thank you.
as you go out into the world, let your hope shine from you like the light of this first candle in our Advent wreath. Let it spring forward in the world like new leaves off of the branch of the fig tree, letting all who know and all who see it know that Christ is coming, Emmanuel is coming, God with us, God for us, a God who loves us. Go in peace. Amen.